You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No one can ask you a question, Jed. It's not right that you have to stand up there for the photo op, but no one can ask you a question. Thank you for your time today, as always.
I was just saving my answer for you guys.
You're just toying so with our kind emotions. You are part of the furniture today, Jed, but we're glad you've saved some stuff for us. A good vibe there today. It's you don't have these news conferences unless something didn't go right, but... David Ross did answer a few questions that I wanted to hear him answer today, and I'm done holding on to the idea that he's going to be a warm and fuzzy Rossi. I'm sold on the idea that he's not coming in here to be everybody's friend.
Yeah, I think the Grandpa Rossi stuff is such a misnomer. You know, he is a fun guy, and he is a guy that, you know, when he enters the room, he has a ton of energy and picks people up. But I think, you know, the reason people think of him as a, you know, the potential great manager is his ability to hold guys accountable. Now, he was always the guy who was, you know, talking to his teammates. He was always the guy who was kind of policing the clubhouse, making sure things are done the right way. He has a unique ability to be really positive and yet also have those hard conversations. And so, you know, I read some of the articles and heard some of the commentary about you know, the Grandpa Rossi, they're bringing back the, you know, the good times from 2016. And in some ways, he was as much the enforcer of 2015 and 16 as anything. And that's what makes him a special leader, that unique ability to straddle both those things, be their friend and also be their mentor and be their leader.
That part of it really never concerned me because I knew the anecdotes of, you know, him and Lester or him and Rizzo and holding guys accountable as a player. But I will say, at the end of the season, Theo talked so much about, you know, spanning the game and figuring out where the organization had fallen behind and looking for new ideas and that sort of thing. And you guys have announced organizational restructuring, I think 5 or 6 new front office positions, all filled by internal candidates. And then David Ross, basically an internal candidate as your manager. I guess what I'm wondering is, Can you square those things of like scanning the game for the best and the brightest when all of the moves have been made from within?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think on a couple of the moves, we restructured player development, and part of that was having hiring a new director of hitting and a new director of pitching, and you know, both of the people we hired had connections to the organization. But I think it's important to note, I mean, Justin Stone, you know, unbelievably well thought of guy nationally, hitting wise. And he's been a consultant for us, for a handful of years. But there's a big difference between, you know, doing some assessments for us on the side and being our director of hitting. So I do feel like in that sense, now that's a totally new direction, and we're hiring, a ton of new hitting coaches in the minor leagues underneath him. So there are a lot of new ideas. Just, you know, he was just doing some assessments for us and some consulting. Craig Breslow is going to be our director of pitching. Anyone that knows Craig, you know, he's a brilliant guy, you know, went to Yale, pitched in the big leagues for a long time. You know, he had worked for us for about a year in the office, but wasn't directly involved in pitching. He was working in the front office and you know, providing a variety of roles for us. And so I think he's actually providing really new ideas and new perspective, and also hiring a lot of new coaches and new coordinators in the minor leagues. So I think in terms of, new faces and new ideas, I think as we start to roll out the number of different people we've hired and from the different backgrounds, I think people will start to see that we have brought in a lot of new ideas. But some of the leadership are definitely people we know. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think when you're trying to hire leaders, there is a comfort of hiring people that you've either you have worked with before or you're sort of one degree of separation from. Hiring someone based entirely off of an interview process is daunting, especially in a leadership role. So, you know, we know Justin, we know Craig, you know, we know David Ross, but they're certainly coming to us in new roles, and I think they really do add fresh ideas for us.
J- Jed, there was pushback today on the idea Ross was being groomed for the job. Can you tell us today with a straight face that that's 100% accurate, that there was no preconceived notion that he was your guy all along?
Well, I mean, I think when we've always thought of him as a guy who had that skill set I mentioned before, that he had the potential to, you know, to be not just a manager, but potentially a great manager down the road. And, you know, we hired him, which was natural, and we sort of gave him the ability to dip his toe in all areas of the organization. So he had a chance to, you know, do scouting, you know, sit with the R&D team, sit with us in the box and listen to how we think during games, be there around the trade deadline. So he had the ability to do all those things. You know, whether we ended up hiring him to be here, you know, I think in some ways we might have been grooming him for another team. We obviously didn't know, you know, what the future was going to hold. You know, at the time he came on board, we had a Hall of Fame manager, and we were in a position where the furthest thing from our mind was who's going to be the next manager. But, you know, certainly we gave him a really broad range of things to study, and I think he did a great job with it, and I think he would admit that he's much more prepared now than he was 2 years ago.
Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer with us on the McNeil and Parkin show. I know Joe did a lot of great things, and I know David said that he's going to take a lot of great things from Joe, but in what way or ways are you hoping he'll be different?
You know, it's somewhat of a loaded question because, you know, anything you answer in this way, I think, is perceived as a slight at Joe. And I think, you know, I think the world of Joe, I think he did an incredible job and was the perfect guy at the perfect time for us in 2015 and 16. You know, I think with Joe, he runs a loose ship, I guess is the best way I would say it, that he really trusts in the players to get their work done, doesn't provide a lot of structure. And I think that with, a young team, I think that's ideal. He does not overstress them. He encourages them to play aggressively and play freely. And I think that we saw the results of that early on. I think that he encourages guys to do work on their own time, figure out what is the best routine for you, and don't kind of go above that and beyond that. Just do that routine and get ready. I really hope the next manager, in David Ross, I hope he wants our guys to do more group work, wants our guys to get together more and do more stuff that can kind of create some camaraderie, create some bonds. It felt like the last few years there was a lot of guys doing their own individual routines and no one sort of getting everyone together and doing it together. I think that you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to criticize Joe, and it's hard to criticize the success he has. And I wouldn't do that. But if you're asking me areas that I would hope that David would probably change, it would be more group work, and establishing some some ways that the team gets together more. I think that with the amount of information we have now, with the amount of batting cages and the amount of things we have in our clubhouse, it's easy to have eight guys that are doing their own thing and then take the field at 7:05 as individuals. And I think we should do more things to sort of bring everyone together and do more group work that feels like we're more of a team.
He said specifically today, changing routines on the road. Is that what you're talking about, or is it universal what your last few words were?
I think both. I think that, you know, we have a unique challenge here in Chicago with all the day games. And so, we're always going to have slightly different routines at home versus routines on the road. I think that our routines on the road were, we didn't get to the ballpark particularly early. And I think that our guys, like I said, they went through their days getting their work done for sure, but doing it sort of on their own. And I think we can do some things to change that dynamic a bit. Listen, what Joe does has worked exceptionally well, but I think that, you know, one of the things we need right now is a little bit of change in how we do those routines, and David talked about that a lot during the interview, and I think he's going to be excited for that challenge.
Jed, he described the second interview as more of a grilling, and that you guys peppered him a lot. I've talked to people about how in-depth that process is, but I'm wondering with specifics if you could kind of give Cubs fans an idea of just how in-depth this process is and maybe what that interview looked like.
Sure. The first interview for all six candidates was probably about 8 hours in one day, you know, probably three or four with Theo and me. And then there was different groups with our assistant GMs, you know, with Scott and Jason and Randy, and then some time with the R&D staff as well. So that was the first interview. And frankly, we had an unbelievable group. I think that in 3 to 5 years, I think we'll look up. I think all the guys we interviewed for these for the manager job will end up being managers in the big league. So it was a great group, but we ended up bringing back David and brought back Joe Espada as the finalists for the second interview. And the biggest thing for us was that, you know, we had spent a lot of time with them. We had identified areas that we wanted to see more of, you know, areas we wanted to challenge those guys with. And so we can't just sit down and sit down in a room again and go over the same stuff we did for 8 hours before. So we tried to put them in different exercises that would simulate their day, simulate different things that they have to go through during the course of the season. So, you know, we had them put together, you know, a 5 to 10 minute speech at the beginning of spring training. We had them go through what it'd be like to sit down in front of the media. You know, we had our whole office there and we kind of fired questions at them. We had them walk us through an advanced meeting, how they prepare for an opponent. We had them walk us through, you know, ways to kind of synthesize the information they're getting from the R&D staff and put it into a format where you could relate to a player. Those are some of the examples of the things we did. We talked a little bit about scheduling and how they set up routines and how they set up schedules in spring training and during the season. So we just tried to fire a lot of things at them and put them in different situations than we put them in the previous interview. And, you know, both guys did a great job. I thought David was just outstanding. He was A+ in terms of his energy, you know, his presence, and really his preparedness. He clearly came back for that second interview and was just going to – he was not going to leave without it. It was how I took it. And he prepared so well. His passion really came through.
Whether it was during the interview process or watching a game together in the suite, can you give us an example, Jed, of where David disagreed with you? Because I know Theo took it upon himself to say, if you're looking for a puppet, you don't hire David Ross.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I kind of going back to the Grandpa Rossi thing, you know, one of the mistakes I made at one point was I tried to bring something not that vital to him, to his attention when he was a player, on a day he was catching. And, you know, I'm always really aware with a starting pitcher. I'm really aware, like, hey, you don't ever talk to a starting pitcher the day he starts. I'll get the guy the next day, no big deal. And I did that with Rossi at one point, and he bit my head off. And I thought that was great. And I forgot he only played once every 5 days like a pitcher, you know, so I guess that was his day like a starter. But it made me realize the intensity that he had on the days he played. He was really detail-oriented and really focused when he played. You know, we sat there and watched, I don't know how many games this year, 20 or 30 games together. I love how much he pays attention. You know, he's very similar to other guys I've sat with during games. When I was in San Diego, A.J. Hinch worked for me. Brad Ausmus was working for me. And it's kind of the same thing. They sit by themselves, really focused on the game, almost thinking like a manager. And we would talk through scenarios all the time, and he would disagree all the time. And I think that's the beauty of that kind of back and forth. You know, I think with Joe, we had the same thing where you could go down after a game, you could talk about what happened, you could disagree respectfully and realize that, you know, that's the beauty of baseball, that, you know, these decisions are not black and white. And as long as the thought process is good, as long as they're using information correctly, you know, there's no right answer on a lot of these things. And so we disagreed all the time. And I love the way he thinks about the game. He thinks about it in a quantitative way, but he also thinks about it in terms of the feel and the experience he had behind the plate for all those years. And I think that there's so much value in both those things.
Do you see the role of manager being an extension of the front office?
No, it can't be. I mean, I think what you want is a great relationship with us. You want to be able to take all the information that the R&D staff gives, and you want to be able to take that information and get it on the field in the best way possible, because I think that information can lead to wins. But, you know, it's the manager. He's managing the 25 guys and 10 to 15 coaches and the training staff, and he has to be a leader down there. And if that person is just an extension of the front office, he can't truly lead that group. So I think I don't want the manager to be an extension of the front office. I want to be a partner with the manager, where you feel like you know, we're in lockstep as far as our thoughts about the team, our thoughts about how we want to prepare and how we want to play. But he needs to be that leader down there, because it doesn't work if the manager is a puppet of the front office. It doesn't work if he's an extension of us. He has to be his own man, and I think with David, we know he will be.
How much swing is he going to have in assembling his staff?
A lot. I think it's important, you know. Obviously, we want to work with him on that, and, you know, we have a lot of contacts in the game also, so we can sort of help with that. But it's really important for, you know, for the manager to like the people he works with and respect them, and they have to be able to push him. But ultimately, there's a lot of lonely days in that job where, you know, you have your bad days. You want to, you know, go grab a drink after the game, or you want to go grab breakfast in the morning with someone. You want a bunch of people that you trust around you, people that aren't yes men, people that are going to, you know, question you and talk to you about ways you can improve. And so when you're traveling and together for 7.5 months, it's really important that the manager, you know, not only, you know, picks the staff and likes the staff, but he needs to want to spend, you know, 7.5 months of a kind of a grueling marathon with those people. And for us to just assign them those people doesn't make a lot of sense.
Jed, I've said on the show that, you know, I'm obviously interested in who the next manager is, but I'm much more interested in roster changes, because I know that a manager is good if he has good players, and a manager is often blamed as being bad if he doesn't. What would you say to Cubs fans in terms of, like, what type of offseason they should expect in terms of roster changes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say this. You know, we've been totally focused on finding a manager. We've had a number of other areas we've been trying to search for internally. So, you know, right now, you know, the focus as far as player-specific has been, you know, left internal meetings. We've had a bunch of staff meetings about it, but really, until you get to the GM meetings, you don't know exactly what the off season is going to be like. I think we're going to be open to listening. You know, I think we have a really, we have a lot of talent on this team. Obviously, I would say we weren't a very good team last year. We didn't come together. We were not nearly what we should have been as a group. But there's a lot of really good individual parts, and we need to figure out how to become a better team. We have to play, you know, cleaner baseball, make fewer errors, you know, make fewer outs on the bases. We have to get back to grinding at bats and getting on base and doing some of the things that we know we need to do. And I think as far as, you know, acquisitions or trades, you know, we're going to be open-minded. We have some contractual challenges. You know, we have a lot of guys that are we control for 2 more years. We have to think through that, and we have to think through, you know, not only winning in 2020, but winning over the long haul. So we have a lot of interesting questions ahead of us, but we don't really know what that's going to look like yet until we get to Arizona in probably about, I guess, two weeks now. I think we'll have a lot of conversations out there, and at that point we'll have a much better feel for the direction this offseason is going to take.
And then, Jed, I know this one might be a little tricky for you, but you just said, you know, club control for the next 2 years. It's been widely reported that Chris Bryant and his grievances being heard or was heard about moving up when he could be a free agent because of the service time manipulation back in 2015. Where does that stand?
Yeah, I mean, that was their grievance. So I don't really have a comment on that. I think that, you know, Major League Baseball can comment on that, but that's not something I can really comment on, given that it was it was a player's grievance, not our grievance.
Fair enough. And what's it been like? Have you had any takeaways? What's it been like watching the playoffs with your team sitting at home?
It's never fun. I mean, you know, it's always a little bit frustrating to watch the playoffs. But that said, I always do it. I mean, I think this is – I work in baseball for a reason because I love baseball. And, you know, this is the game played at the highest level. So I wish the games were shorter. I wish the inning breaks were not whatever they are, 3:15.
Amen.
But I will say that I watch as much as I can. And, you know, Houston's got a great team. I mean, really, you watch them and, you know, with a lot of envy. You know, it's power hitting with few strikeouts, and it's power pitching, and it's up and down that roster. They're dangerous. So they're amazing to watch. And, you know, watching the Nationals, watching them, you know, I think – probably the worst series I thought we had all year, or the most, I should say, overmatched series I thought we had all year was when they came in here, I think, in August and beat us. And, you know, I think in hindsight, I think that in a lot of ways the Nationals were probably really under-evaluated and underrated by the industry the whole summer. I think that they were 19-31. You know, Rendon was hurt early. You know, Trey Turner was hurt. And their bullpen was struggling. And if you look at what they've done since, you know, after they got Rendon back and got Turner back, it's pretty incredible what they did after that. And so in a lot of ways, they may have been really close to the Dodgers for best team in the National League. I just think that because they dug themselves that hole and were the wild card team, I think we sort of underestimated them. But I thought they were, you know, probably the best team we played all year, them and Houston, obviously. They're really showing it. I'm happy for them that they're able to show it on the biggest stage, because they really did have an exceptional season if you take away those first, you know, 50 or so games.
Jed, thank you as always for the time. I'm glad finally someone could ask you some questions today.
Yeah, and it felt like part of the furniture probably.
But now that the managerial search is over, you let us know. We're bringing you in studio, and we're just doing football, fantasy football, picks.
Yeah, you could fix the Bears' goal to go offense for him.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm in. That stuff's the easy part. So you tell me when. And you know, last time I went 3-0-1, I think, in my four picks. So
against the spread,
I got to go 4-0 this year.
All right, we'll do it soon. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Jed.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you. Thanks, Jed.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.